Good morning and welcome to another edition of In You All Along here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. My name is Pete and I will be with you for the next hour yet again. So sit back and relax.
Say, don't you want to go up to my papa's house, up to my papa's house, up to my papa's house. Don't you want to go up to my papa's house? There'll be joy, wonderful joy. Don't you wanna walk like him up to my papa's house? Up to my papa's house, up to my papa's house. Don't you wanna walk like him up to my papa's house? I'll be joy, wonderful joy. Be no sickness up to my papa's house, up to my papa's house, up to my papa's house. It'll be no sickness up to my papa's house. I'll be joy, wonderful joy. Be no dying up to my papa's house, up to my papa's house, up to my papa's house. It'll be no dying up to my papa's house. I'll be joy, wonderful joy.
Spell on me.
That was the shortest opening set that's ever happened here on In You All Along, which is something you already knew because you've been tuning in. Jeez, you've been tuning in to the radio every morning at 6 o'clock, hoping I'd be on. But here it is Friday. Here it is the day that you were right, the day everything worked out for you. And I was happy when I showed up at the studio today knowing that this was the time that you'd actually catch me. Have you noticed that the heat has broken a little bit this morning? It has. Normally that would come with a crashing series of thunderstorms or something like that. Instead, it came with Jittery Jack and his song Full Snow Moon from 2014's Gonna Have a Time with Jittery Jack. These days, Jittery Jack plays in tandem with Miss Amy Griffin. So generally you'll see listings for the two of them together. But tonight, you will see Jittery Jack and Miss Amy Griffin playing with one of my favorites, Bloodshot Bill, down at Sally O'Brien's. Bloodshot Bill comes down from Montreal, and both of those acts are terrific rockabilly forces. That's all I can say. We opened up with John Jackson from Don't You Want to Go Up There, from the 1970 album John Jackson in Europe. You know, I come across music in a lot of funny ways here on In You All Along. This past week, I saw Won't You Be My Neighbor. I had to think of the name of the movie. I just want to call it the Mr. Rogers movie. And at some point, there's a picture of him, Mr. Rogers, at his desk. And there's a couple of records there, and one of them was John Jackson in Europe. So I had to go, of course, find out, what is it Mr. Rogers listened to? Well, there you go, folks. John Jackson in Europe. So this is one of those occasional weeks, there seem to be a lot of these weeks lately, where there are people protesting the state of our country, the state of our government, things going on in the world, down at Boston Common. This past Saturday was the occasion for the rally for the rally against family separation, Together and Free, that went from City Hall down to the Boston Common. And I went down there, as I often do when there are people getting together to shout about something important in our country. I went down there to chat with a few of those folks about why they were there, and we're going to have a couple of those segments here today on In You All Along. So tune in, listen, and see. The first interview, I have to preface, is with some folks who had a fantastic giant banner that looked like a roadside variable message sign, and it just said Amber Alert, which is for when children are stolen from their families. I think you can figure out where this is going. Okay, what's your name and where you're from?
My name is Lori Lobenstein. I'm from here in Boston.
What is it that you are doing here today?
We were here to spread the word that there's an Amber Alert, that there needs to be a response to over 2,000 people, 2,000 children who have been abducted and who are at risk. And we have this national system for even when one kid is abducted and at risk.
Remind us what an Amber Alert is.
An Amber Alert is something that is started by a by the police that says that someone has abducted a child and that they are at risk. And any state police can start an Amber Alert, and they literally have these signs out on the highways, and they're checking cars to see if they can find the child who's been abducted.
And why do we have Amber Alerts?
To keep children safe.
Are we keeping children safe?
We're keeping some children safe.
Are we holding as a priority the safety of children in general right now?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if we've ever really held it, but certainly for some children more than others, and not for these children and not for these families. None of them are safe.
Is there something that we can do or we can say to people to get them the idea that there are children that are being used as political pawns here?
This was our best idea of how to express, like, the way that we hold each child precious. If there's an Amber Alert, it comes on our phones. We have these massive systems, and yet here we see over 2,300 children who we are not holding precious, who we're leaving to sleep on concrete, who we're separating from their families, who we're leaving to sleep under, like, aluminum foil, who we're lying to. And we're like, this is an Amber Alert. This is an emergency. We are not treating these children as human. We're putting them in cages.
So we're dropping the ball on our so-called priority of making every children's life sacred.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for being here. This is a really effective sign. I think this is probably the most most attention-grabbing and provocative thing I've seen here today. So great job, guys.
Thank you. And, you know, spread the word. I think we do use radio to announce Amber Alerts, so you can use the metaphor as well.
We use every medium possible to get into everybody's face.
Exactly.
When a child is in danger.
Exactly.
But we're not doing that now.
We're not. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Shut it down!
The border wall!
Shut it down!
The Muslim ban!
Shut it down!
What is your name and what are you doing here today?
My name's Felicity. I'm here to support immigrants. My boyfriend is an immigrant. My friend is an immigrant. My great-grandparents were immigrants. They're nothing to be afraid of. I think Trump is using lies to make people afraid.
How do you think people in this country stopped valuing the lives of children?
It's outrageous. I don't know how. It's unfathomable what's happening. That kids or children and babies are being kidnapped. It's unfathomable that the Trump administration is so callous and disgusting.
So is there a way that we can reach people and remind them this is an issue about children, first and foremost? Something we can all get behind.
I hope so. I hope people can, like, stop and take a moment and get in touch with their own humanity and realize that these are babies that need our care. I hope so. I don't know what's happened to society that something like this could happen. I don't know what happened to people's humanity.
I don't know either. I hope that people seeing these messages today will help make some difference in that.
No hate, no fear. Everyone is welcome here. No hate, no fear. Everyone is welcome here.
Thank you.
What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Bianca. I'm from Brazil.
And what brings you here today?
Sometimes I feel so frustrated at home, feeling that I can do anything, and that just put me some energy. And then when I hear some strong people are getting together to help, I just want to do something for these people, for us, because I'm an immigrant too, and this is just unacceptable. We have to do something and support this fight.
Tell me how you feel as an immigrant, because you have a different perspective from someone like myself who was born here and is a second generation person here.
Well, United States is a great country. I've been meeting such great great people here. So it's just, I can understand how the government acts so differently from the people I meet here. There's so many kinds of people here. I feel welcomed. I feel people here get together, they unite, they fight for their beliefs. So it's just, it doesn't make connection between what we are, what people here are, and what the government is doing. So we just have to stop hatred to be popular and to make changes in our lives.
Do you think that there's a way that the message can get through to people that this is an issue of children being taken away and put in cages? And even though there's been an order, they're still there. And the issue, people are not recognizing that this is an issue about children. How do we get across? How do we get across to them?
This is not a basic question, but I believe in two things: love and information. Because the ignorance wave is making people feel afraid of things, people feel afraid of immigrants, and that's just not right. I try to understand both sides, and basically ignorance and what the media tells people that just make it doesn't deliver the right message, so they ended up supporting something that they don't actually know what it is. And Trump is like, he manages how to get awful message through people, ignorant people. So we really need to have patience, love, and we need to talk to people and try to make them understand that things are not the way it looks like.
That sounds like a great place to start. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
When we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
Okay, what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Mary Coleman Kennedy. I'm from Haverhill, Mass.
What brings you here today?
Outrage. Just complete outrage every day. And then when the babies were taken away from the parents, that was the last straw. But I went to the woman's rally. I've been to several rallies throughout the past year and a half. But this one really, really hit home. I feel like we're being overrun by white supremacists, by Nazis.
Do you feel like all of these marches and demonstrations are making a difference?
Well, I think what it does is we're starting to form, I think, bigger numbers. So we're starting to feel more, it unites us more. I was commenting, back when we did the Women's March, that people were kind of stuck in their own groups, kind of, and weren't all, mixed together. But it seems like every rally that comes along, more and more people are making friends, making more connections, and our numbers are growing.
Do you think that the message is getting out beyond the people that would come to something like this that were already on board? Do you think that this movement, I'd say movement like it's one movement, but there are so many, but this swelling is it pushing beyond the circle of people that are here?
What I think is people, for the most part, probably already have this background. They already feel the same feelings that we feel, but they're a little more reluctant about getting out there or speaking out. There are a lot of people that might be afraid to speak out. For instance, I have a niece who is gay, and she's married. They have two children. They're not going to do this. They can't. I have to go out and do this for them because they don't want to put their children at risk of being out in the open so much, which is a shame.
It is a shame. So what are your hopes? What are your hopes for moving forward from here?
At this point, we're looking to the November election, but, I feel like we have to arrest them.
Arrest who?
Trump? People in the White House? They were kidnapping children. There are a lot of laws that they're breaking by doing that. And, you know, just no due process for people that come in at all. They've taken away amnesty.
But they've told us that they're not only innocent but immune.
But they're what?
They've told us they're not only innocent but immune to prosecution.
Oh, I know. That's what they're telling us. We don't have to take that. We are the people. We have to organize, and we really do need to arrest them or stop them. We have to stop them and then put them on trial.
Well, I guess November is going to be a big step on that road.
Yeah.
Whatever happens. Well, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
2 years ago, when my grandfather visited the United States for the first time, my mother was the happiest that I have ever seen her. Last Tuesday, my mother found out that she might never see her father again. Now she is considering going to Libya with a target on her back. But I do not want to lose my mother in her attempt to not lose her father. My family belongs together, too.
Okay, what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Kirsten.
Well, there you go. There are some of the people, as I said, that have been down on the ground doing the work, getting the message out there that human rights, the rights of immigrants, the rights of all people are all human rights. That's my editorial opinion here on In You All Along. You get it every now and then. Mostly I let you off with just an hour of pleasant music, but I feel like I've got a responsibility, and then we all have a responsibility. So I also have a responsibility, both by the policies of this station and I believe under the terms of our license, to give you a public service announcement. So appropriately, I will tell you about a little something called Know Your Cell Phone Rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can be readily searched by anybody holding it. And a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a key code password and setting your phone's screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to, and if you do that, you've forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you." Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant, so think carefully about what's stored in your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights in the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org, a public service message from the EFF and your freedom-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. All important. If you should happen to be down on the ground or anywhere in the air, in the water, making your voice heard in potentially unpopular ways. Okay, well, here are a few more people who are doing just that. Okay, what's your name? Where are you from?
I'm Kirsten. I'm from Upton, Massachusetts.
And what are you doing here today?
I'm canvassing to end child separation because it's extremely inhumane to be separating children from their families at such a young age. And regardless of what laws are in place, even our citizens here who break laws, we still strive to reunify families and take any effort to reunify families. So it's only right that we offer that same, humanity to other people, especially seeking asylum.
So you're talking about basic human rights, in other words.
Exactly.
And do you think that human rights is a partisan issue, that there is a party of human rights and a party that could be understood to maybe be against human rights?
I don't believe it should be a partisan issue. It may have been turned into one because it's easier to blame the other side for not making any progress on it, but I don't think it should be a partisan issue. I think it should be a human issue.
My question, I guess, is what would you say to somebody that is defending locking up children in cages away from their parents?
Well, I have talked to a few people who have been okay with it, and it's kind of difficult to explain the human side of it to someone who sees it as a policy issue, as I don't want my tax money going to immigrants living on welfare or that type of thing. But I believe it's worse to spend your tax money on essentially concentration camps than it is to spend your tax money on allowing people to become citizens.
Have you used the words concentration camps in any of those conversations?
Some of them, yes.
And how does that go over? How do they respond to that?
Usually, they don't really know what to say because they don't believe that it's comparable to a concentration camp, but I believe hindsight's 20/20, and if you don't look at history and compare it to the present, then you're not going to grow or learn from that history and really make a change in the present.
Well, I wish you well in your work here. Thank you very much for being here, and thank you for speaking with me today.
Well, thank you. It was nice speaking to you.
The whole damn system!
Shut it down!
The whole damn system!
Shut it down!
The whole damn system!
Shut it down!
Okay, what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Jude Muyanja. I'm from Uganda.
Do you live here now?
Yes, I live here.
So you are an immigrant?
Yes.
And what are your feelings on what's going on here in this country with regards to immigrants?
With regards to immigrants, they should be treated as human beings.
Do you feel they are being treated as human beings?
In some instances, not. Because actually, the president has called immigrants, some immigrants, some illegal immigrants, animals. So that is not right. Human beings are human beings. They're not other than human beings. So let us treat humanity with dignity and respect.
Do you feel that in the United States, are we losing sight of the fact that we are all human beings and entitled to basic human rights?
Yes, all human beings are entitled to basic human rights. And that should be clear and certain. It should not be some sort of uncertain reality that black, brown bodies and, white people and, brown people and black people and, Asians or Hispanic people, It should not be uncertain that these people are all human beings and that we should love one another. So Is America losing sight of that? As I see today and as I witness, you know, thousands of people and even millions of people out there at home thinking about this and trying to ascertain what's going on, I'm pretty sure most of the Americans do not like what they're seeing in with regards to the way immigrants are treated.
Do you feel comfortable in the United States at this day and age?
Do I feel comfortable?
Do you feel threatened in any way?
Well, personally, I really stand up for my rights, my human rights. So yeah, I feel comfortable speaking up for my human rights. I feel comfortable standing up for my human rights. I have graduated from law school. I'm a human rights advocate. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to express myself now. Do I feel threatened? Oh no, I should not feel threatened. I should stand up for my human rights. I should assure and actually, you know, call upon the government to respect human rights, because that's the right thing to do.
Is there any political side in this country that you think that should have any disagreement with basic human rights?
Well, this is about consensus, molding consensus. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. alluded and, you know, said and stated, he emphasized molding consensus. So some people want to build consensus on one side of a partisan, you know, deliberate issue. Or, you know, when they debate an issue, they want their side to actually win. But let us win love. Let us win dignity for humanity. You know, let us mold dignity. Let us mold love. Let us mold justice. A consensus of justice, a consensus of love, a consensus of humane treatment of humanity. Let us not dehumanize people. Let us humanize our humanity.
That is a beautiful and very encouraging way to look forward. And thank you very much for speaking with me today.
I thank you, sir.
mouse. But the Disney Corporation is down on its knees. It's time to take Walter out of the deep freeze. They're in trouble. Better fix it on the double. It's not my fault. Please, please,
deep freeze Walt.
A job on the line to say the company's going fast. But we need Walter and his trim little mustache. Walter was one of my favorite dudes. Now he's hanging out with the frozen foods. They're in trouble. Better fix it on the double. It's not my fault. Please, please,
defreeze Walt.
Could use some of old Walt's advice. Everyone writes a letter, I'll take him off the ice. He sure was a nice old geezer. I wish they'd take him out of the freezer. Defreeze
Walt Disney.
Defreeze
Walt Disney.
Defreeze
Walt Disney.
Good afternoon and good evening to all of you. I forget sometimes that you're not all listening right now. A lot of you are listening to the podcast version of this show, which is available for listening afterwards, after the whole thing is done. I know you'd like to listen to it in advance, but that's not possible. We just heard from Pajama Slave Dancers. You remember those guys, right? They, man, I saw them. When did I see them? About 25 years ago. That was their song, Defreeze Walt Disney, from 1985, from their album, Cheap is Real. The Pajama Slave Dancers were a Western Massachusetts staple, so if you were out in that neck of the woods like myself, at some point during the 90s, the 80s, whenever, you knew those guys. They opened up for everybody that ended up getting bigger than them. And, you know, they kind of packed it in for a while. And I think for the first time in 20 years, that's what I've been told, they're going to be playing in Boston at the Midway Cafe tomorrow night at 9 p.m. with trusty sidekick Gray Matter and the Weistronauts. That will be an exciting show. I can't make it myself. There's too much going on, but go check it out. Before the Pajama Slave Dancers, we had Arthur Lee and Love with Hey Joe, their cover of the Jimi Hendrix. The song Jimi Hendrix made popular. That was from 1966's album simply titled Love. And we opened up the set with The Byrds and I'll Feel a Whole Lot Better from 1965's Mr. Tambourine Man. I intentionally played those two songs together because they are sort of structurally very similar. There is a there's a very clear similarity to the openings of those two songs. I don't know. That's all I'm doing down here. Connecting the dots, putting it together. It is 6:44, so it is time to cruise on right along. By the way, all this time I've been speaking over MFSB. with Smile Happy from their 1975 Philadelphia Freedom album. An album named after a song named after a team tennis team. Because that's just how it went in those days. Okay, stay with me, we're almost there.
When it rains, it pours. I look out the front door. Can't see the sunlight. Don't know from day or night. It amazes me to see this monstrosity staring right back at me. Oh, just you and me. Through these losers.
going to do it. Boy, oh boy, I told you. I told you it was going to end quickly. You should listen to me. I'm your DJ, and I'm here to take care of you. Like I just did by playing you Mercury on Mars and their song, Be the One, from 2017's Be the Sun, which is a collection of songs new and old, mostly old, actually, I think entirely old, from here and there. I know that song. Two things I can say. I'm going to give a couple of shout-outs. One to my friend Dave Stoops, who is in that band, and your friend, too, because he seems to be friends with everybody. And my friend Jeff Lipton, who mastered that song. So, yeah, it's all in the family. Prior to that, we had Mike Gent. Mike Gent with No Worries from his 2018 Last Friday of the Month Singles Club. That was the May edition. Mike will be playing at Toad tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Get down there and see it. Mike Gent is a phenomenal performer with all the bands he's in, particularly the Figs, but also on his own. And another show I wish I could make it to. Who knows? Who knows? You never know. I might sneak out. I didn't mention to you that Mercury on Mars will also be playing at the Can Tab tonight with Sexy Heroes, Three Fightin' Fish, Highway Chapel, and Melted Chapstick. We opened this set with the Cast Irons and Beggars Can't Be Choosers from 2018's The Broken Hearts Club, a new release there from the local band. Those guys are also playing. When are they playing? When are you playing, guys? They are playing tomorrow night at the Midway with Crunch Time, Rivers and Plains, and the Trick Wallace Trio. All right, that's going to do it for me. Thank you for tuning in, as always, here on In You All Along on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM Tufts Freeform Radio. Stay tuned for the Music Savage Show with Kirsten filling in for Ryan D., who is on assignment this week.